and good evening. I'm Melissa Idris and you're watching Consider This. This is the show where we want you to consider and then reconsider what you know of the news of the day. As of September 1st, employees in Malaysia will be able to apply for flexible work arrangement with their respective employers. Now, this follows a recent amendment to the Employment Act, under which employees can apply for flexible working arrangements, or FWAs, which includes changes in working hours, working days, and also place of work. Now, this amendment requires employers to respond to the application within 60 days, and employers must provide a reason as to why the application was rejected. So can businesses establish flexible working arrangements as a sustainable workplace norm going forward? And what support is needed from government to enable this? Joining us on the show tonight, we have Mr. Ding Hong Sing. He is president of the SME Association of Malaysia. Mr. Ding, thank you for being on the show today. Can I ask you, what are the concerns your members have regarding the flexible working arrangements? And particularly because this employment falls under the Employment Act, it kicks in on September 1st, which makes employers legally responsible to ensure that it is enforced.
See, for our SME, is the 1st of September, but the government say it's work and the home, and this is a problem for our SME. Compare what is the type business. You see, for our SME, for example, is for the manufacturing. The operator must in the factory inside, and start do the machine. But it's a different, this type of business cannot work in the home and work in the home to working. And depend what type the business. Is it maybe it's a designer, the advisor, IT guy, that type the labor, the workers can work in the home. But it's the same our SME for the manufacturing, because you see all the operator in the machine, because it's a work in the home, it's a big issue for our company.
Right. So I understand that not all businesses can accommodate this. Not all employees can work from home or telecommute, but surely there are frontline employees, they can benefit from flexible working arrangements like flexible work days or staggered working times. Is that possible for SMEs to adopt?
Because not possible is our SME. Because our SME is a small company. It cannot work short the time. This is a problem because our need the manpower a lot. Need also to do the production, output. You see, if less the time and less the day is not enough, the output, our company is no margin. Sure, adding the cost, the product there, the price increase.
Okay, do employers... So I know employers must give a reason for why they have to reject a flexible working arrangement request. Has the Ministry of Human Resources given businesses like yours and your members clarity on what reasons, what guidelines in accepting or rejecting an application for flexible work?
You see, our SME is a small company, below 75 workers for local. You see, it's also the manpower not enough. The government say the worker apply the work and the home. Your 60 days, you must answer the workers. Because this is a big problem, you see. Our SME is the one person admin. Maybe he work in a three department, four department, because it was a small company. How to write another letter 60 days later, this is a big issue for our SME because our no time to write the letter. All the workers, is like to ask the work and the home, the how about our HR to have no have the time to like the later is a big issue. This is for our SME.
Mr. Ding, did the government engage industry players, particularly like yourself, like SMEs, because it seems that this is most difficult to be implemented in small businesses? Did they engage SME players to discuss the issue of flexible working arrangement and the challenges that SMEs might face in implementing it?
Yeah, because you see, the SME is here. Why the you see the SME in the Malaysia and the macro and the SME micro is a 78.4% for micro. It's the micro is a below is a 5 workers. Below the 5 workers. You see, it's all is the one the micro and the SME is a manpower is not enough because this is a government sometimes he propose is a good the proposal, but for our SME. It's very difficult for this proposal.
Did they ask you before they announced this?
No. This one is our donor is certainly has come out. Is working also 1 week for 4 days. Our also donor that this he announced. And also the one 90 days for the lady is also a big issue, you know. Because you see, it's at least the government to support the 1 month salary for the lady and our SME is 2 months. You see, 90 days also for our big issue is a big problem because our SME, you see, is a 3 or 4 department is a 1 person to do because it's a work, it's a not too much. And if it take the leave 90 days, who can do the this job? Also, the owner take the this job. It's the extra the 1 person to come in to work, and our SME is no this the budget to pay. It's a government is one of first of September. It must do this law. Our SME is a very challenging, and also. Sure, the product is increased the price.
Mr. Ding, thank you so much for being on the show today. Ding Hong Sing from the SME Association of Malaysia there. We're going to take a quick break here and consider this. We will be back with more. Stay tuned. Welcome back to Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris. We're discussing flexible working arrangements for which employees who want to work on a flexible basis can soon apply to do so when an amendment to the Employment Act comes into force September 1st. Now, what is needed to create a workplace norm in Malaysia where employees feel empowered and that it's acceptable to request for flexi work arrangements, but it still allows employers a certain level of power to accept or reject requests based on their business needs. To discuss this further, we have joining us now Thomas Matthew. He is CEO of TalentCorp, which is an agency under the Human Resources Ministry. Thomas, thank you for joining us. I understand that TalentCorp works with organizations to help them implement flexible work arrangements. And now that it's essentially kind of baked into legislation, I'm wondering what is being done to help companies who may be struggling with this, to help them adopt flexible work arrangements?
Okay, thank you, Melissa. Thank you for having me. Before I delve into that, I thought I'd just give you some context about TalentCorp and how flexible work arrangements or work-life practices fit into what we do. I think as you're aware, TalentCorp was formed in 2011. It was an agency initially under the Prime Minister's department. And it arose out of the need for the country to move into a high-income nation. Okay, at that point in time, we were middle-income. We still are. We're not there yet. Under the national transformation policy that the government put into place, one of the key pillars that was required was talent. Okay, and they found that basically there was a detachment between the industry and the government. So an agency was set up with a focal point between the government, the industry, and the academia. So when it comes to flexible work arrangements, any betterment of the workplace contributes to sustainable socio-economic development. Okay, so from that angle, FWA is a key part of the talent segment. So today, when Talent Corp looks at talent segment, we look at university students, we look at TVET students, we look at women, we look at senior hire, and of course, we look at the diaspora and the expatriate space. Okay, now, so if you look at flexible work arrangement, it is a key enabler for women. Okay, and that's an important talent segment that the country needs. As we move into an aging nation status, the fact that women doesn't, from a university space where they actually today probably are the majority, the conversion into workspace is much less than compared to men. So the need to bring them into the workspace is there. So flexible work arrangements actually enables them to come back into the workspace. So from what has the government done about it? Of course, we've been proponents of FWA since 2013. We've been trying to push it. Over the last 2 years is when it actually accelerated, only because of COVID. A lot of companies adopted it, not by choice, but they didn't have a choice, but they adopted it. So the question then is, I know you wanted reality to this. You're right. A lot of SMEs will face challenges, only because these are people who have actually plowed their money into a company. They want to see results at the end of the day. They cannot, for example, envisage that they're having a staff working from home. Fine, COVID necessitate that, but today when they have a choice, they would rather have the people with them there. Now, let me tell you what the government has actually put into place for that. The government is they've encouraged flexible work arrangement to be practiced by companies, and they have this thing under the Panjana called the double tax deduction. So any company that wants to actually adopt flexible work arrangements, either implementing it, okay, or like I said, sorry, advanced in it, and there are costs incurred, the government actually supports them by giving them a double tax deduction. What that means is from the year 2020, 1st of July 2020, until 31st of December 2022, up to 500,000 can be the maximum sum that is spent on, for example, consultancy, capacity development, software subscription or software purchase. They can use the monies that they've spent on that times by two and set off against their profit. So that's what the government has done, because the government is trying to encourage companies to adopt that.
Right. Can I ask you, Thomas, I mean, because you see real-world application of flexible work arrangements, given that the Malaysian economy is made up predominantly of SMEs and micro SMEs, you know, we spoke to a guest, Mr. Ding, a bit earlier from the SME Association, and he noted how difficult it will be for SMEs to adopt FWAs given their limited workforce, given their limited capital. Do you think that small businesses can adopt flexible work arrangements, or is it a given that this cannot be, that, you know, for small businesses, particularly SMEs, will just outright reject any kind of application for FWAs?
Okay, I wouldn't say it cannot be done. It all depends on the kind of business they are in. Of course, if it's manufacturing and you need the people there to actually work on it, you can't have them at home. Or if they're frontliners serving customers, clearly you can't have that. But for example, you could have a finance person sitting at home, for example. You could have somebody who's doing processing at the back end sitting at home and carrying this out. It can be done. See, the challenge that we will have, and nobody is forcing SMEs to adopt it, but the reality, Melissa, is simply this. At the end of the day, the best of talents will look for companies that gives them a work-life balance. Okay, so SMEs, of course, can choose to or not to. But the question of retaining talent is today a big issue within the country. You find companies pinching the best of talents one from another. Okay, you have E&E companies complaining up in Penang and North that their staff is being pinched by other companies. What will they look for? Pay, of course, one. But a work-life balance becomes important. So similarly for SMEs, if they don't adopt it, totally reject it altogether, then the question is, they may find that ultimately they may end up not the kind of talents that they want. And that is the reality about it. If I can speak a little bit more about what we have put into place. For Talent Corp, this month, we're actually coming up with an FWA at workplace. And we're actually helping companies. And we know a lot of SME companies have this challenge. We're saying, hold on, if you have a challenge, let's let's see where you are in the stage of FWA. So we have actually something called a readiness assessment test. You can actually go to a website called FWA Workplace. They can do an assessment of themselves to find out where they are. Are they starting? Are they accelerating? Are they trailblazing as far as FWA goes? Based on that, we can actually carry out workshops for them. And that workshop will help them determine whether they are actually capable of carrying out FWA in the workplace. So don't reject it. I would tell SMEs, don't reject it. Work with us. We're looking to engage about 700 companies this year alone. Okay, talk to us. Look at it very objectively. You know, because like I said, end of the day, the question is retention of the best talent. Okay, and once talent sees opportunities elsewhere, they will move.
Can I ask you, Thomas, whether you've heard any, so, you know, from the employer side, some may have reservations, incorporating flexible work arrangements to their operations. But have you heard any reservations from the employee side? May they have reservations to apply?
No, personally, we have not yet. We have not yet. But clearly, for a proper flexible work arrangement to work, it takes both parties, of course. Okay, right. The employer side, there must be a trust. Okay, they must have guidelines. They must prioritize the kind of workers that they want to allow. All of these things must be in place. For the employees, they must take ownership if they are going to be working at home. There must be accountability. There must be communication with their superiors. We have done this in our company. We're walking the talk, Melissa, just for your information. We've got a company that deals with expatriate employment passes. We looked at it and we carried out something sustainable there. It's not an easy process because you need to engage with the employees, you need to engage with the middle managers, you need to engage with the senior managers to make sure that everybody buys in. Once the buy-in is done, and then we put into place something sustainable. But again, you need to determine what's on-site, what's off-site, etc. So all of these things can be worked out. There is a science behind it. So please get SMEs to talk to us.
All right. You mentioned there's a science behind it. Do you know if there's data to prove that flexible work contributes to more productivity?
Well, we have a report that we've done. It was a UND report, done in 2021, that actually says that productivity actually either remained the same or even was better. The report says that actually productivity either improved or stayed the same during the COVID when companies adopted flexible work arrangements.
Okay. All right. And can I ask you, you know, in terms of when you say you've been working with some companies to put into place these, best practices for flexible work arrangements, I mean, does that include redesigning some work, some jobs, the nature of work? Is that part of the process for businesses to rethink the way they're doing their businesses?
Actually, it's true because, you see, I mean, the reality is this, Melissa, you could have somebody sitting at a desk in the office and you really won't know whether they are working. Okay. I think companies have realized that when the COVID came about and somebody is working from home, the scrutiny on them is even further. Okay. For example, us, we made sure we had KPIs set on that individual. Okay. They delivered it by the end of the day. Okay. And that to me is more scrutiny than it had been in the office. Okay, so these things takes place because you're more conscious that your personnel is outside. You make sure that you engage with them constantly. You make sure that they produce the results only because you're worried. Initially, of course, a trust issue is there. I think once the trust issue is overcome, then it becomes something more consistent. But this, like I said, certainly it has changed the way we work.
Yeah, I definitely agree with the need for communication and trust between both employer and employee. I'm wondering, for this to become a permanent feature of the Malaysian workplace, do you think the public sector, the government and the civil service will need to take the lead on this, that they will have to be the trailblazers in implementing flexible work arrangements?
Yeah, that really would be good, to be honest, Melissa. We've done it here. I can't speak for the whole government, but it'll be good if the government actually practices that. Again, this is traditional thinking. You know, whether you come from the old school and you want to see your employees here, or you're today free enough to actually explore this. So you're right. I mean, if the government can take the lead, it'll be fantastic. But I can't say much more than that. But on our end, yes, we have adopted it. Talent Corp is practicing flexible work arrangement.
Okay. So we've just got a minute or so left. I do want to ask you whether, you know, you mentioned double tax deductions and you mentioned some initiatives that Talent Corp is doing. Is there anything more that you think will give businesses that push so that they adopt this or normalize this as part of, you know, part of working culture, that this becomes something that is seen to be offered by every organization if the business nature allows it? Thomas?
Yeah, I think, like I said, the companies must give themselves an opportunity. With the double tax deduction, when you speak about consultancy costs, the consultancy cost is actually cost related to determining the cost-benefit analysis of adopting this, and of course, putting into place guidelines and structures. So why not explore that? If you need a professional help, get a consultant to look at the cost-benefit analysis of that. On our part, like I said, we actually are carrying out the FW at workplace. We will do a readiness assessment, we'll carry out workshop, we will do subsequently an implementation module for them. They can choose what are the modules they want to put into place, and then we can brief them and, like I said, provide them consultancy services on that. Exploring, all I'm just saying is exploring. This is the future. Don't discount it altogether, because this is a retention tool for the best of your talents.
Can I just ask you very quickly, some of the criticisms around the amendment to the Employment Act or to do with the flexible work arrangement has been the lack of clarity. So some businesses don't quite understand what are the guidelines to accepting or rejecting applications, whether salaries or allowances will be adjusted, whether there's an appeal process, whether there's a dispute mechanism. Are all those things going to be clarified, or has it already been clarified? And how do we get the message out so businesses don't feel uncertain or ill-equipped to adopt a flexible working?
Melissa, I will need to actually get feedback from the policy division of Ministry of Human Resources for that. Allow me to do that. I'm not sure where the doubts are, but this is something that must come out from the ministry's end. Maybe allow us to actually have a chat with them before we speak more about that part.
Okay, wonderful. We'll look forward to hearing back from Talent Corp and the Human Resources Ministry, particularly to provide some clarity to the business sector. Thomas, thank you so much for speaking with me on the show today. I appreciate your time. Thomas Matthews, CEO of Talent Corp, they're wrapping up our show for tonight. And that's all we have for you on this episode of Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris, signing off for the evening. Thank you so much for watching, and good night.